Now serving butter and bacon. The good stuff.
Sad to report, I am incorrect in my assertion that I proudly proclaimed because, well, I read it on Twitter, and of course everything online is absolutely factual.
Why wouldn't it be real?
Yeah, that the minivans can drop off, not at the TTC, but at the bus loop. So, rescind that.
Well, for now. Let's be honest. I'm not sure all the details are even known yet, so this could all change again.
So, are there any other details that that we were able to... what I found funny is there were people on Disney Twitter that were surprised by the $20, because that seemed really apparent coming out from D23. I don't know how you noticed that.
That was, like, one of the most stressed details I've had.
Yes. What do you mean, it's $20?
And I still hold to the fact, if you find $20 for a convenient ride across property to be too much for your budget, and you have an alternative, take your alternative.
Yes.
I'm not sure of people being angry about Disney over this.
Yeah.
It's like being mad about a $3 bottle of water. Yeah, I'll bring my filter bottle in then, and it'll be cheaper.
Yeah, fill it up in the resort. Well, no, because you don't want to drink Florida water.
That's why you got to bring a filter bottle.
There are some people that are just determined to be mad if there's anything that they can't afford or anything that they don't think that they should have to pay for. They're going to be mad.
Like, they're angry Disney, like when Dwight bitter. Howard. It's like when Dwight Howard doesn't get the fast passes he wants. And he makes that angry face.
Yep.
Well, just I don't think he gets angry. I just think he tries to reschedule over and over and over again.
Just, if you can't afford it, or if you don't want to pay the money, then just don't do it. You're not losing anything. They're not taking anything away by doing this. You're not, you know, losing bus service or anything. Just go on and do it the way
unless you believe
the
conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
About what?
Oh, people were suggesting they will pull back on bus service now. And yeah. Make it less frequent to try to force people into the lift.
I've heard
no,
that.
No,
this
is
going to
be
yes.
such a small amount. This is going to be such a small amount of people using the minivans. They're not going to cut back on bus service.
There are 53 people on every bus. There are 7 people in each of these minivans.
Well, 6 actually, because you have the driver.
Oh, that's right, the driver. Seat. So, yes, 6. So, 6 people per minivan. 53. Do the math. Carry the 1. No. They won't.
Not the intention.
No. It's added. It's not subtracting. Besides, they already have the buses. They're not going to gain anything from doing that.
Well, theoretically, if they ran less buses, they'd gain maintenance by having, maintenance cost by not having to maintain the bus as much.
That is such an infinitesimal cost.
Right?
I mean, the cost of diesel fuel and the cost of a cast member to drive and the cost of maintenance for a bus is minuscule. Compared to the budget of the overall resort. So, no. I don't buy it! You know who is buying it is our listeners who are sticking with us. Hi. I'm Polly. This is Butter and Bacon. We discuss the good stuff at Disney. This particular good stuff is the continuation and conclusion of Dean's trip. So, let's introduce him. Dean, are you here?
Hey, I am here. How you doing,
awesome.
Polly?
I am doing well. I can't wait to hear about the second part of your fantastic Disney vacation, and with us to add questions and commentary and fun dog references is Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Polly.
Woof.
Well, are you coming to me from where? Long Island? Where are you from?
Sure, there was a clause in my contract that said that I could travel.
I'm Max. The union sent me.
Get it? Because you said dogs. There's a clause in my contract.
Yes. Yes, I get it. I heard that loud and clear. I heard it.
All right. Well, Amy, since you are the authority of all things everything, I need to know, since we just hit our 1-year mark, are we celebrating our first anniversary or our first birthday as a podcast?
I would call it a birthday. The podcast.
Then happy birthday.
Yay, podcast is a year old. Whoopee. I've been on since November. It's been a lot of fun.
And I hope we keep going for many more years of fun and laughter and me ruining Polly and Dean's trains of thought by humming and singing Disney background music.
Choo-choo!
Polly, in the words of Frosty the Snowman, happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Yay!
Or a very merry un-un birthday to us.
It is a very merry un-un birthday. Although by the time this releases, we'll be like a year and a week
old. Yeah, well, this is season 2, episode 1.
Yes, so happy season 2.
Yes, and kicking off season 2, we are going to do part 2, as I mentioned, of Dean's trip. So please, Dean, take it away. Where do we leave off?
So in classic 80s fashion, my season 1 ender was a cliffhanger to get to the second part of this trip report. So we are going to pick up right where we left off, minus a day and a half, because I had mentioned on the previous show, I think, or 2 shows ago, that I would tell you guys about the pop.
Yes!
And I forgot to mention that last week. So my buddy, the guy who we had talked about, friends that we met up with that moved to Florida recently, he's a big flavored popcorn guy. He loves the popcorn. And I've never been one for Disney popcorn. I know that probably I have to revoke some sort of Twitter card or something, but it's just, I think maybe it's not a summer snack to me. I don't know. I've never been one to walk around and say, I need to get the popcorn. So I'm not that well versed in Disney popcorn, other than the fact that overseas, apparently, it's like a major phenomenon. So my buddy, we were walking through Epcot. He has a son same age as mine. So the mothers were taking the boys off to go do something fun. And we're like, we'll meet up with you. We're going to grab a cocktail and some popcorn. So we walked over towards the Imagination Pavilion, and they have all the flavored some flavored popcorns there. So I'm used to thinking of Disney popcorn as like Main Street buttered popcorn. Mm-hmm. And they had a sour cream and chive, I think it was, a buffalo popcorn, a cheddar popcorn, and something else. And apparently it is $10 for the refillable souvenir tin, mm-hmm. and then every refill is $1.50.
That's a deal, because so, I believe popcorn's around $3.
Yeah, so I think if you keep, and he's a local, he's like, well, it's supposed to be good for the length of my stay, but since I live here,
he doesn't leave Florida.
He's like, I think I get to fill this until I'm disgusted by the bucket, because at some point it's probably going to break down and be gross. Oh. So, yeah, I mean, if you're there and you're a big popcorn fan, there are a bunch of flavors to try, and for $1.50 a refill, I think that's a pretty decent value.
I was just going to say, I think that is a great value, particularly if you've got a stay of like a week.
Exactly.
And popcorn is one of those few snacks that is very shareable.
Absolutely.
Now, where did you say you got that again? Where was it?
So this was out in front of the Imagination Pavilion. They have a little bit farther, as you're walking back towards the restaurant.
It's not next to the bathroom, is it?
No, thank God. No, a little beyond the dancing fountain thing.
Okay.
So they have other popcorn stands around, so I think you can refill in more than just that location. And I'm trying to remember, I think there was also popcorn, regular popcorn, right kind of behind the Fountain of Nations, past the birth as you're heading towards World Showcase. I think there's regular popcorn there, and that also was allowed to refill. If you don't get the refillable bucket, I think it was $5 and it was a snack credit.
Wow, $5 for popcorn.
I figure if you're getting you get the souvenir bucket, if you get one refill, you're at $11.50 for 2 buckets of popcorn. It's not bad.
No, that's really good. Wow. I mean, over the course of a vacation, if you were to get a popcorn bucket a day as a snack,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again.
$35.
If you're a popcorn fan, yeah, not too bad. So the funny part, though, was he wanted to do half buffalo, half cheddar. And he thought if you mix those two flavors together, it would go as a nice, buffalo cheddar combo popcorn. So the cast member asked him, he said this is what he wanted. She said, okay, let me just confirm, that was half buffalo, half cheddar? He said, yep. She said, which would you like on top? He said, I don't care. Mm. She commenced filling the bucket 3/4 of the way with buffalo and topping it off with sour cream. Sour cream and chive pop. It's like, no, not exactly what I asked for. So then I couldn't believe she did this. She actually scraped the sour cream and chive one off.
No.
I'm hoping it wasn't back into the same bin. I'm hoping it went in the garbage. I couldn't really see. And then so he ended up with about, 3/4 buffalo, a thin layer of sour cream and chive, and then topped off with cheddar.
He got the sampler.
He got the sampler. So, you know, again, he's a big popcorn fan. He would have liked it no matter what they gave him. So it's fun. But again, I think it's one of those things where you think about like the refillable mug is kind of a good value if you use it often enough. Yep. If you're one who's going to want to try two or three different buckets of popcorn, I thought it was pretty good value.
Absolutely. Amy, do you like popcorn?
I love popcorn. I love it.
Are you a flavored popcorn?
Yeah.
Or are you more traditional?
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't do the buffalo because it sounds kind of spicy, but I would totally eat the sour cream and chive and the cheddar. Totally.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. I'm not a huge popcorn fan, but I tried the different flavors. It was definitely something I'd snack on. And like Paulie said, I think it's good to share. So you get the person who loves their popcorn, and you know, it's kind of a good little family snack if the other people just sample off that. And it's pretty easy to refill. So
actually,
this was not like the Cinderella, coach bucket.
Oh, right.
This was just like a decorative, I think it was Mickey in a space setting or something like that type bucket.
See, in those buckets, I always found to be like they cost the $10, the same amount, but they hold approximately 1 cup of popcorn, which is not a lot.
The more decorative ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This one was definitely more the open bucket, tub o' popcorn.
That's what I want, a bucket of corn.
Goes along with your bucket of nugs.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so moving on to the trip. I think we left off with our meal at Chef Mickey's. We had breakfast that second to last day, so we were boarding the ship the next day. Did we talk about Ohana?
No.
No, so let's jump there. So we were cruising out on July 9th, so this was the dinner on July 8th, and our cruise party actually consisted of not just my family, but we were cruising with the co-owners of our travel agency. So they have a young boy roughly my son's age, and then they had some relatives coming along as well. So we all decided to meet up the night before and have dinner together at Ohana. And I've been to Ohana once or twice before. I know some people, it may be their favorite restaurant on property. I've always thought it was pretty good, but nothing that was my must-go-to type restaurant. And I was pleasantly surprised this time. I thought the quality, the freshness was up better than previous experiences. Definitely a lot of fun to go there with a big party, get one of those nice big tables. They're doing all the other sort of interactive fun that, the kids got up. They're learning hula, all that kind of stuff. So overall, I thought Ohana was pretty good. And again, we're on the meal plan. I think for a one table service credit dinner, it's really good
value. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can definitely eat yourself into the meat sweats if you do too much at Ohana. So you got to pace yourself.
Especially in July.
They're definitely bringing out the pot stickers and the noodles first, trying to get you to fill up on that stuff. I happen to love those noodles and those pot stickers.
Oh my gosh, yes. Me too. Now, do they still have the broccoli as well?
There was no broccoli to be found.
Is it broccoli slaw or is it broccoli? Because I think I know what you mean.
It was. I think it was like broccoli florets, but I mean, it's been a couple years ago since I
was like
there.
The water chestnuts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's what it was.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if I had a picture. I know we definitely had noodles, pot stickers, and wings.
Oh man, oh Asian wings.
The wings are good. And then they brought out all the meats on skewers. I think there's definitely a salad. The bread, it's like that pineapple bread, they had that flowing.
Apologies to all of you listening at mealtimes.
Yeah, or just before mealtimes, because it's taunting at this point. But yeah, again, to me, when we went the last time, I kind of felt like the initial platter, the one with the pot stickers and the noodles, hadn't been freshly served, if you will. I felt like our platter had been sitting around a little bit. It was kind of lukewarm and a little bit dried out. This was no complaints of that whatsoever. This was fantastic. We actually refilled that platter because everybody at the table was pretty excited about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, it's not interactive, Amy, so you don't have to be scared for those that are a little more introverted. You only have
to
get up and dance
but
if you're, under 10.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but it's not at the introverted. It's because we always give Amy a little bit of grief, but...
Yeah, no doubt.
I would never put anybody in that position, including you, Amy.
Look, you're not going to get me into the coconut races, okay? I'm not doing the coconut races.
No, my point is more that for people who haven't been here, this isn't 50s primetime where you are going to be forced into the show. This isn't the old Adventurers Club improv stuff. This is... we're doing a coconut race, we're doing a hula dance, we're doing a song. If you want to partake, stand up and come over here. And again, it was mostly the kids that got up. You know, some parents went with their kids if their kids were smaller. You know, it was a lot of fun. I like that at a family style dinner because the kids don't want to sit around and eat as long as the parents usually
no!
do. So it gives them something else to do. It's in a safe space. You can get your eyes on them at all times, and it breaks up the meal for them. I think it's actually pretty cleverly designed the way they pace it. So it was a lot of fun. We took a lot of pictures. We actually watched the fireworks that night from the Poly Beach, which was a nice view. I'm trying. You know what? As I recall, the music wasn't being piped in at that point. Hmm. Which I thought was a little odd.
I have an important question pertaining to your visits to the Polynesian Village Resort, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
There is a restaurant called Captain Cook's, and they happen to serve a certain sandwich called the Aloha Pork Sandwich. And
I've heard one of my favorite podcasters talks about that sandwich all the time. Hmm.
That's great. So my question is, sir, how many of those did you and your traveling group happen to eat during your travels, sir?
Well, I'll set the over-under at 0.5 and let you bet. Did we make it to... Because it's with certainty that if we made it to Captain Cook's, I ordered an Aloha pork sandwich. The question is, did we ever take the time out of the midday, leaving the Magic Kingdom, being centered at the Contemporary, to make it to Captain Cook's for a lunch?
This seems like a very long answer that wasn't really an answer.
For him to
I'm making it be interactive for you now.
For him to say no.
Sir, I'm gonna reclaim my time. Right? don't count this against my time. I need you to explain to him the rules because
Maxine
he doesn't seem to understand them.
Maxine Beckholz.
Yeah, do not count this towards my time, okay?
Oh my god, I'm dying.
So, sir, I'm going to ask you again. Just go straight to the answer.
Reclaim my time.
How many Aloha pork sandwiches did you and your traveling party eat during your travels?
Well, as I roll back through the pictures, I'm focused on July 6th at lunchtime.
Ooh.
A text message that went to international podcast superstar Miss Amy Beth Holmes of the Aloha pork sandwich. And also the chicken noodle bowl.
So, how many Aloha pork sandwiches?
I am a single Aloha pork sandwich eater. At any given meal, and that was our only meal at Captain
Cook's. All right, I will accept that as an answer. Thank you, sir.
And I know you will not get on the cruise ship, but should they add the Aloha pork sandwich to the dining offerings at the cruise ship, would that be enough to entice you?
It would not.
I don't think the food offerings are going to get her to get over the fact she's on a boat in the middle of the water.
The gentle lady from Kentucky tends to want to stay on the shore, on land.
On the shores of Kentucky.
Yes.
Yes, those...
Yes.
Glistening beaches.
Pristine.
Well, it is not...
Sandy beaches.
It is a floating resort.
It is.
The ground is as stable as when you're standing at the Contemporary. Which is to say, if you're too close to the monorail track, you might get shaken.
Mm. Not stirred, though.
Not stirred. Never stirred at the Contemporary. Always shaken.
I'm very skeptical of this.
All right. Well, let's discuss the details. And while I don't believe I will convince you to cruise, I can at least allow you, from your dry and lofty perch in Kentucky, enjoy the pleasures of my cruise vacation. Fair enough.
I am very much looking forward to your explanations and your descriptions and your vivid imagery as you paint us a portrait of your time at sea, sir. I yield the floor to you.
Much appreciated.
We are very procedural today.
I think, Paulie, a different episode might go down to the sort of pros, cons, and logistics of a cruise. So I'll share some of that here, but I think it's enough. And you and I have talked about this before. It might be an interesting compare and contrast to do a sea versus land vacation. So one of the things I was thinking about is the most important detail to start a cruise is how do you get to the cruise terminal? And there's a number of options. The minivans, as far as I know, will not take you that far. So you're not getting out there for $20. And it's an interesting thing because we're so used to the free provided Disney transportation, but the Disney transfers from land to sea are $70 per person round trip. And depending on your crew size, the number of people in your party, you can actually find more cost-effective ways to get out there.
Yeah.
So what we did, and this is going to sound really odd, we actually went and rented a car on July 7th and kept the car for 1 week.
Happy anniversary to us.
And thank you. Happy anniversary, Pauly. Just not to each other or the same.
Right.
But
it's been 1 week since you looked at me.
That's the car singing.
I had to do it.
That's the car singing.
Nice. And I mentioned, I mentioned that the fact that we did that because a weekly car rental in Florida is cheaper than the sum of 7 days.
It is.
And the parking out at the terminal can be as cheap as like $4 or $5 a day.
That surprised me. So when you
directly at the terminal parking. So there is the one that's right at Port Canaveral is $16 a day, and they count based on the days of your cruise. And I'm being careful to say the days of your cruise because my 5-night cruise encompasses 6 days of parking. So parking directly at the terminal for me
right.
is $96.
Yeah.
Parking at the off, the slightly off site spot. So think I'm not parked at the airport, but I have to shuttle in. Those places were as cheap as $5 a day. So again, that would be a 6-day cruise, so it'd be $30 to park there.
Yeah.
And then when you factor in the cost of a rental car, you can get a week's rental car on a smaller vehicle for well under $200.
Oh, yes.
So it made, we ended up actually parking at the terminal, so it wasn't completely financial sense. But for the convenience factor alone, the little bit of over the $210 for the three people to transfer, it made sense for us to do it this way. And had we had a fourth or fifth person in our party, it actually would have made economic sense to do it this way. So just pointing it out that the Disney transfers are convenient, but they're not always the best. And the other thing I don't like about their transfers is they will dictate to you what time you're going.
Yeah.
Now you can get on the boat as early as about 10:30, quarter to 11. On our last cruise, we took the Disney transfers. They didn't drop us off at the terminal until quarter to 1. And it's not a huge deal, but that was 2 additional hours on the ship.
Yeah.
It's getting to the buffet if you want the buffet lunch or the sit-down lunch, whatever. All those things, getting acclimated. Just
touring the kids. Particularly if you are a party with young kids, getting them into the kids club on the tour. It's not open yet, really, but they can go, they can play around. You can go in and you can play around and really start to get comfortable with the idea. Meet some of the counselors. The characters are roaming the ship everywhere. We had a interaction with Rapunzel for like 3-4 minutes. it was a little like, oh, I can't believe you're not like just being whisked away by anybody. So yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean I'm not waiting in a 30-minute right. line for my 30 seconds with right. you? Like, it's not like that on the ship. And so for those reasons, we wanted to get there as early as possible. And so, again, you could take a limo. You can rent a car service. I'm sure Uber or Lyft would take you. Our particular option, I like to drive myself, and so that's what we did. And by parking right at the terminal, literally pulled into a parking spot, rolled our bags across the little walk pedway bridge, as Amy would call it. little walkway.
I love it, the pedway.
The pedway. Drop your bags, and you are in the terminal.
Yeah.
And, you wait around, you go through a little check-in desk, not dissimilar to a hotel's check-in desk, and they give you a boarding group. They had up to 40 boarding groups. We were in group 5. So we were on the ship very early, and it was fantastic. We met up with our co-owners, our friends, and they were waiting right there in the main area of the boat, the main atrium. And we all kind of went off and said, hey, let's go eat lunch. Because the restaurants are open, the buffet opens shortly thereafter. But if it's your first cruise, you are going to be awed by that atrium.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your camera out. You're going to take pictures. You're going to want family pictures. You're going to want family pictures with the statues. You're going to look for characters. Like, it's kind of that neat feeling. I mean, it's not quite the same as your first time walking down Main Street USA. But for some folks, it's close. Now, the opening day of the cruise, the first day, the boat itself, the process is really onboarding everybody, getting you familiar with the emergency procedure and sailing away. So that whole time from 11 until 4:30, we did exactly what Paulie talked about. We got over to the kids club. We wanted to get our son familiar with it. We wanted to get him excited about it. We wanted to get him registered for it, which we actually did online before. They give you a bracelet. Now, we are ones who have never left our child with a non-family member babysitter. And I know, wildly conservative, but that's just the way that we've always done things. So it's either been with a grandparent, with an older cousin. I felt completely safe leaving my child at Disney's Kids Club. They are banded in. They cannot leave without a scan out. There's picture ID. You have to reclaim your child.
Unless you give them permission to check themselves out. That is an option.
If they're older. You can, enough. I mean, yep. I'm not doing that with a 7-year-old.
No. I'm not sure I would do that with my 10-year-old.
Yeah, I mean the kids club, the nursery is under 3. The two kids clubs, Oceaneer Club, are ages 3 to 12, with varying activities that might appeal to different age groups. You can give them the permission to check themselves out, but you control that choice. They don't.
Right.
And, other than the open house times that Paulie described, which is kind of when you first get on the boat, there was one other window of open house, and I can't remember if it was on the club or lab side. Other than that, adults are not allowed in the kids'
club. Usually it's only when you're in port, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, the other time of open house, I believe, was during Nassau.
Yep.
There was a couple hours there in the morning where, again, it was open house to bring go in with your kids, kind of see. And it's neat to see. I love the kids' club.
Oh, man.
They have an Infinity Play area. They got the Millennium Falcon. They got Andy's room. Like, and you can get all this stuff online. There's tons of pictures, tons of video at this point. It is a fantastic space. The club and the lab are connected. You can have your child in there long enough. They can eat meals in there. They've done pajama parties in there. Character meet and greets, all sorts of activities. My son got to go back during a Jedi training, not Jedi Training Academy, but it was like a Jedi experience where they were learning the powers of the Force. And I guess from what he told me, stormtroopers and one of the commanders showed up, and they got to use the Force to defend the club and get the bad guys out. Like, all sorts of neat stuff. They have princess themed stuff. They have stuff that I think is more appropriate for the, say, 3 to 6-year-olds, stuff that might be more appropriate for the 10 to 12-year-olds. They do science experiments. He was pretty excited about it. He had a lot of fun during the open house time. We had a couple times we dropped him off. Some kids will last there, so long. I've heard parents' stories that they tell us they couldn't get their kid out of the kids' club to come eat dinner. They will contact you. So
yes.
We dropped our son off with our friend's son. The two of them were in there for about 3 hours, 3.5 hours. And then I got a call on the Wave phone that said, your son would like to be picked up.
That was actually my next question, because the Wave phones, there are two in each stateroom, if I remember correctly. Sometimes it's an issue keeping them charged, but we never had a problem while we were aboard our two cruises. What my question was is if they had tied in with the app, because you can do texting to other people in your group on the app. I didn't know if the ship could text you for the kids.
I thought they were going to be honest. So we were only going to bring our phones.
Yeah.
Because we had the app open at all times, and that's how we were messaging with our friends.
It worked really well.
It did. It worked fantastically. I wasn't so certain about that, and so, my wife, there was no way we're going to have any uncertainty. Mm-mm. So she brought the Wave phone. And I never got a message on the app if it was going to come that way. I don't know if we had to request that. We didn't really have that dialogue at check-in.
Right.
We just carried the Wave phone, and from what I understand, the receipt of the Wave phone message was instant, and we were there to pick them up within just a few minutes. So, it's available. For folks who don't have children or don't want to drop off their kids, you don't, again, like everything else we've talked about, it's optionality. You never have to go in this area. Our stateroom happened to be on the 5th floor. The kids' club was on the 5th floor. It's just really convenient when your room is that close to the club. So we liked it. He definitely is already talking about another cruise and wanting to go back there, which I thought was a great sign. So when you're familiarizing yourself with the ship, there are many, many decks. You have access basically from deck 2 to deck 14. Some of them are going to not really be necessary for you to go on unless your room is there. But the dining is spread out, so the rotational dining is in decks 2, 3, and 4, if I remember correctly. The sort of grab-and-go stuff is up by the pool, so you're talking deck 11. The theater is sort of middle deck. It's like deck 4 and 5. So you really do find yourself all over the ship as you're doing your week of activity, or your 5 days or 4 days, whatever, however long your cruise is.
And that's not counting adults area.
No, and that's the other thing. So then you talk about whether you're forward on the bow, aft, you're in the midship. So those are the three terms they typically use, forward, aft, and midship. Again, this isn't meant to be a let's map out the entire ship, but it's just the point is you take those first few hours when you get on board to really start to get familiar with how things are laid out, what your interests are. The navigator, so you mentioned the app, Polly. The navigator is a paper printout that will get left in your room every night, and you can check out what the next day's activities are. That's where I found the app to be very convenient, is that the navigators are already in the app. So you can start to mark exactly what activities you do or don't want to do. And, my brother was on a cruise. I swear he was on Princess. My wife tells me he was on Norwegian. Doesn't really matter. He was on a cruise out of New York the same time we were cruising. And his cruise went to Bermuda and then came back. And it was a 7-night cruise. They were in Bermuda for 3 days. And one of his, I'll call it feedback he provided, was that he didn't feel there was a lot to do during the day. The majority of what was going on was people laying by the pool, people at the casino. And I think partly because Disney's family friendly, and maybe even more so because they don't have a casino, that sounded like our offerings were much more robust as far as programming. And when I say programming, this isn't just kids going to meet characters. They have tequila tastings. Mm-hmm. They have towel animal making. There's a first run movie theater. We went and saw Cars 3 while we were on board. They had Spider-Man Homecoming playing. They had the new Pirates movie playing. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was in the theater. So it's not like they're just showing old cartoons in this place. You get to, as the director kind of joked the first night, he picked a gentleman in the audience who was with his wife, and he said, "Hey, sir, you can take your wife to go see a movie. You're going to save $18 because you don't have to pay to get in the theater." There's all sorts of stuff that you can be doing, and none of it is related to laying by the pool or getting wet at water sports or anything at all that's beachy.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people kind of have that mindset where it's like either, all day I'm going to lay by the pool with a cocktail in my hand and there's nothing to do. It's just not true.
No, and what I found too that I love about the navigators, you can sort it by different things. Sorting it by time definitely helps. But what I enjoyed is you could sort it by location and you could see what the times were going on. So if, for example, during your meal time, they were having they were having a tequila tasting. You could see when else they were having a tequila tasting, and you can try and fit it into your itinerary.
Because they definitely had the same activity could occur on multiple days, which I thought at first, I was like, I'm wondering why they're repeating activities, but it's for exactly that, because you find conflicts.
Yeah, found on our, even our 11-day Norwegian cruise, but it was not a Norwegian Cruise Line cruise. Our 11-day cruise to Norway, that's better. There were things we just didn't get to, and it's because we took advantage of the ports of call. We were not on the ship because it was Norway in the summer. The pools were open, but not a lot of people were in them. It definitely was not the Caribbean. We found that I went to a movie, but it was like 11 p.m. It wasn't something that I had any lack of activities. And there were things that we wanted to do, some extra charge, like the tastings. We did a vodka tasting. But they brought up actual beluga caviar as a surprise, and I don't partake in caviar. Right. For those of you that do, you should be really interested in the fact that a $35 vodka tasting, which included 5 types of vodka, included beluga caviar.
Right.
I mean, that was amazing. And it was like an hour and a half.
It was a deep dive, really a not only a tasting where you just get drunk. It wasn't shots of vodka. You learned about it. You learned about its production. You learned about where it can be produced in a pure way. You learn why it's produced in such a way, and you learn that really vodka is the basis of almost every single other type of alcohol, which I didn't realize. You know, anything that you enjoy as a distilled spirit starts out technically as vodka, and I didn't know
that. And it's that's something that if that was what's interest you, you're right there, you're doing it. If it didn't interest you, you just don't even know what's going on. You know, it's that the ship is so large that you just focus on your trip, which I think is, to me, is a difference than a Walt Disney World land trip. When you're at Walt Disney World, I feel like I'm much more impacted by my fellow guest.
That's a great point.
And here I felt like we could interact with folks, and I found people to be very friendly. You know, we were chatting it up with folks while we're waiting to go into dinner, because we would show up for dinner a few minutes early. The doors weren't quite open yet, or they had character meets in the atrium before dinner. So, you know, there'd be, when I say a line formed, you know, I'm talking, I think it was 5 minutes before Captain Mickey was coming out, there were maybe six or seven of us in line. You know, this is not an hour and a half meet and greet wait line. You know, it got longer as soon as he was out. You know, that line probably extended 20 families or something like that, so there was a little bit of a wait. But they also had experiences where you could pre-book and have meet and greets for your child. So I know Anna and Elsa did that. They had a princess one that was doing that. So again, it's a little bit of homework, but it's not quite booking your ADRs 180 days out and your fast pass is 60 days out. It's kind of checking the navigator the night before and saying, oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah. The other thing that I found too is that even though they were evenly spaced and they're very good, I felt like we went from meal to meal to meal.
You certainly can feel that way. There's no doubt about that. So let's talk a little bit about that. So I'll kind of continue through the trip as we're going. So the sail away party itself takes place as the boat is actually leaving port. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's fun. I don't know what other cruise lines offer, but it's very Disney. I'll call it that. There's a very Disney show going on. It's around the pool. It's up on the big, what do they call that big TV screen above the pool?
The Funnel Vision.
Not the Jumbotron. Funnel Vision. So it's on the Funnel Vision.
Amy, you need to go for the puns.
I should go on a cruise for the puns?
Yeah,
for the puns.
Yeah, the television is the Funnel
it's on
Vision.
The funnel.
You would love the Huey and Dewey and Louie splash area. And the way that, the theming of the aqueduct. Little water coaster, you'd really appreciate that. The signage as you're going up, Amy, you'd have a
fantastic
time.
I would be very comfortable checking Amy into the kids club.
You think she'd stay there? Okay,
I think she'd be.
I think I've aged out of the kids club just by maybe the smallest of margins, by like
the tiniest smidge,
by like a 3 month margin.
Oh, you just missed it.
Yeah, I just missed it.
No,
they're gonna check you for ID.
Yeah, I think I've aged out of the kids club. You know, I think that's a lot of cash to lay out for some puns. I mean, I get a lot of puns on Twitter, so and that's free.
A lot of cash lay out for puns.
You know.
Trust me, the energy on the cruise is much more enjoyable than the energy on Twitter at times.
It's a lot less bitter.
Depending on what's going on, I'm just about anything would be better. But usually Disney Twitter is a lovely place. I enjoy Disney Twitter.
Absolutely.
I love all of my followers. If any of my followers listen to this podcast,
you mean they all
tweet
don't?
Us at Butter and Bacon if you follow me on Twitter and you also listen to this podcast. I bet Carrie's going to tweet us. I know that Carrie, One Golden Sun, listens to our podcast.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Called us.
Carrie. She said we were one of the best podcasts for when you've got young kids. She agreed.
Hey.
Yeah,
nice.
I thought that was great.
It is.
And to much give proper thanks, Disney Perspective, Mike. From at Disney Help, said that it's the best two, us and 3028. You know, those guys over there, Kevin and Matt, that were the best two for families of various ages of young kids. So thank you. We try.
That's great.
You
feedback.
Tried.
Yeah.
So Disney does rotation dining, meaning that you move from restaurant to restaurant with your serving team going with you. What was your rotation? What was your first day? Where did you eat your first night?
Wow. I'm trying to remember. Because I was thinking about, you had just said, you know, you felt like it was meal after meal. And I know that we went to sit-down lunch instead of buffet lunch. And I believe we did that at Enchanted Garden. And then we had dinner there. And then we had breakfast there the next morning. So breakfast is open. It's not rotational. But yeah, I believe we were Enchanted Garden, then Royal Palace, and then Animation.
Did you sit in one of those round booths? Because we've always had a party too large to fit in them. But you guys, if you were three, maybe you could.
No, so we were three, but we were with one of our friends, who was another family of four. And then two other relatives of theirs. So we were actually a party of nine.
Oh, cool. So you always had your own table, too. Nice.
Exactly. Yep. So we were all together, which was fantastic. You know, we all got along immediately because, I had known Justin and his family, but had met his, the other two members of his family, and they were fantastic. Fit right in with the group, and we all had a really fun time. We had fun with our serving team, as you mentioned. So part of the rotational dining is that your serving team goes with you. And we had such a fantastic server on our last cruise, his name was Joselito, that we actually saw him and talked to him. And, you know, whether or not he really remembers us, he did a fantastic job of selling it because we saw him at the next section over from ours and chit-chatted with him for a little while. So that's the kind of relationship you can get with your service team if you actually go to all the meals during your rotational dining. It's the benefit of having them follow you from restaurant to restaurant. And so that was our rotation, and I'd say by the third meal, the kids had their particular juices and drinks picked out and waiting for them when we got there. Everybody already had water. We've had previous cruises where if you order the same cocktail, they will just bring that to you the next meal, expecting that that's what you're going to order. So it's that kind of next level service that you get if you have a great team and if you actually interact with them and kind of build that personality, that relationship together. And our team this time was just as good. So they were, they were a lot of fun. Let's talk about the service team. So there's a head waiter who you'll have varying degrees of interaction with. Our first cruise, we saw our head waiter once. This cruise, our head waiter was right there, like helping to bring out meals. Then you'll have a lead waiter, who's the person who takes your order, does the actual service. You'll have your assistant server, who is more of like on the drinks and stuff. And then you have your stateroom attendant and et cetera. So those are sort of the folks that you interact with directly from the staff. And I mention that only to point out that they are also the folks who will service at Castaway Key. And unfortunately, our assistant server had a little bit too much sun our first day at Castaway Key, and he was not there the second day. And I'll tell you what, it was noticeable. He seemed kind of veteran in a way. I mean, I think he was a little bit newer than most, but he definitely knew what he was doing. Whereas the second day, the two people that tried to fill in for him both had the Earning My Ears tag on their name badge, and it kind of showed. nothing that takes away from the experience, but it's not unlike being at Walt Disney World. If you have a server who's earning their ears, you're going to get a little bit different service than you would someone who's 5, 10, 20 year veteran. The rotational dining is interesting. The way it works out is on a 5-night cruise, so you go to each of your three restaurants once. Then the fourth night, you go back to wherever you went first. And for us, that was Pirates Night, so that menu is the same no matter what dining hall you're in. And then the fifth night was kind of like the sort of final meal, and I noticed that the menu was the same in all three restaurants as well. So the menus differ by the three rotations within the last two nights. The menu is the same no matter what restaurant you were in, so you're not missing out. I think Animator's Palette is probably a fan favorite for those with kids, so it's a little bit of a bummer not to be able to go there twice. But still,
can you imagine Animator's Palette is your pirate night? How disappointing that would be.
Yeah.
We ended up our pirate night was at Karaoke's, which ended up being perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps in the theming a little bit, so I think Animator's Palette, it could almost take away from your Pirates Night if it's your only time in Animator's Palette, because you're kind of like, you want that Animator Palette experience. Yeah, so you talked about like meals bumping up against each other, and it's kind of interesting. The rest of your dining is included in the cost of your cruise, with the exception of two upscale restaurants, and is pretty much available all the time. And that can lead into some of the problems you talked about, because the dining is either first or second, the dinner time is first or second seating, so it's either 5:45 or 8:30 dinner, but the rest is kind of open to however you feel like your schedule going. And so if you're out at the pool or you're doing another activity and you don't take lunch until 1:30, you don't get to flex that dinner time a little bit later. So you can end up a little bit full going to dinner.
You can not show up and have dinner at Cabana's, which is the buffet that's open for dinner time. But
right, I'm talking about the rotational
dinner. Yeah, but you will miss your rotational dinner. You can also get room service if you're not feeling up for it, if you just want to relax. But again, you don't get that service that is part of the cruise experience. So yes, there are options. Right. However, I felt obligated to attend every meal that I had to in the main dining room.
Yeah, we like to go to the dining room dining. So yeah, you can definitely skip it and do your own. Out at the pool, they have a pizza station. They have a salad station. They have sandwich station. Yeah, I mean, all that stuff is already readily available. So you could not go to your rotational dining at all, and you wouldn't really be missing out on much, because you could pop into the buffet. I mean, we had breakfast one day. We ordered the room service breakfast, which, by the way, room service, other than alcohol, included in the cost, so you're not paying for room service. You're just having it delivered to your room. We had breakfast in the room, and it was kind of weird. It said basket of muffins and pastries, so we put down one because we wanted one basket, and they brought one muffin, and it was cranberry. So... I guess maybe the description was a little off. So we're like, okay, that didn't quite work out the way we planned. Because we had, I think, cereal for my son, and we each grabbed an English muffin. So we're like, all right, well, that wasn't quite the breakfast we expected. We went to the buffet afterwards. You know, you can have two breakfasts if you want. It doesn't matter. The food is all in the drinks, other than alcohol, is all included, all there for you whenever you want it. There are a couple of places that you can buy food on board. Vanellope von Schweetz is a dessert place, candies and pastries and the like. That is... something you have to pay for, but you don't pay cash. It's a cashless boat, so you're paying it kind of like your Magic Band. You pay on your room card, and it all gets charged back to your room to be trued up at the end of the cruise. So same thing at the bars or lounges. If you're getting drinks, that's all you just charge to your room and pay it at the end. Or I guess you could probably pay mid-cruise if you felt like it. I saw some people doing that. They'd go to the station, kind of check in on their balance for pay it off a little bit here and there. But, to me, it is different than you might see on other cruise lines. So you need to know, even though Disney fares, if you compare it a five-night Bahamian cruise to another cruise line, Disney's going to be 30 to 60% more expensive. But make sure you know what's being included in that fare. The dining is a fun time. What they do is, if you are first dining, then you are invited to see the shows as the second show, which starts about 8:30. If you're on second dining, where dinner starts at 8:30, then you're invited to see the first show of the night, which I think is around 6. And the first night, we saw not one of the traditional Disney shows, but they had a magician on, whose name is Mike Super. And you may be familiar with that name. He actually won The Phenomenon when that was on TV. I think NBC carried that. And he also was a participant on America's Got Talent and finished, I believe, in the top 3. So we definitely knew his name from watching him on America's Got Talent. And, you know, it's some of the stuff, if you've seen his act before, could be sort of repetitive. He did a couple things that were new. I felt like for fitting into the one-hour show, he did a good job of entertaining the crowd, being funny, not just performing magic, but a lot of communication, a lot of dialogue, telling jokes, that kind of stuff. My son got a big kick out of it. He had a lot of fun. And after that, the next three nights... I'm trying to do this in order now. Regardless, one of the nights they showed Cars 3 in the big theater, in the Walt Disney Theater. The other three were the Disney shows that people have always talked about on Disney Cruise Line. So, Villains Tonight, The Golden Mickeys, and Believe. And so, we attended all, except, believe it or not, Believe. Which I think is a fantastic show, but we were just kind of run down by the last night. So we took advantage of being able to watch it from our stateroom. So they show it live on the television, even though it's being played in the theater. And so we just watched it from the room. It's not quite the same as the theater experience, but my son conked off like a third of the way through the show, so it was probably good for him that he was.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Another couple tidbits, too, that I think it's the same on your cruise, that the popcorn is not included in the theater. You do have to pay extra for that. Again, cashless.
Yeah, they have snacks for the, you know, you can get popcorn, candy,
that kind of stuff. And I can see why, because if it were included, you would have people just getting buckets and buckets and buckets of popcorn and not eating it, and it would just end up being all over the floor. So you kind of have to make it a little bit more difficult to get. It's not expensive. You know, going back to our popcorn bucket talk. But the other thing, of all of the things that I found that I loved on the cruise, the distance between the rows of seats in the Walt Disney Theater is not one of them. I gotta ask you how you fared with having the row in front of you, literally, and I'm not exaggerating, 16 inches ahead of you, because your legs are longer than that.
Yeah, and my feet alone run around 14 inches, so it takes up most of that space.
I mean, I'm 5'8". You know, I found it difficult to be comfortable in those seats.
In general, I'm a fan of being on the end of the aisle anyway, because, you know, inevitably a 7-year-old child will sit there the entire time and 3 minutes before the show starts say, I need to use the restroom. And so I don't want to disturb the entire row, particularly with me clogging my feet through the row. So we generally picked the end of the aisle, and that seemed to help a bit. You know, there are ways you can get to the, you know, the sort of that walkway, so you can sit in the front row of the back section, if you will. And then we didn't ever go up to the balcony seating. I don't know if it's
similar. I don't know.
Up there.
Yeah, I haven't been up there either. We tended to be up near like where the spotlight booth is.
Yes,
you know, it's easier in, easier out. And also we never showed up all that early. So those seats were usually what was available.
That's actually a good point to mention, is that while there's ample seating for everybody, folks do tend to go right from dinner right to the show. And so if you're someone who really is going to be particular about where you want to see, or if you want to be way up in the front, like say for the magician show, you'd probably want to be there as close to the theater front as possible. You actually could end up standing in a bit of a line. We did that for, I think it was the, I don't remember which night it was. We did that for one of the nights. And so, you know, we were like fourth or fifth from the doors to get in. And it was because we wanted to be towards the front of the theater. But yeah, if you don't care, there's still going to be plenty of seating available. You just have to be careful, you know, where you end up. And you know, it's not going to impact your view. The theater's not that big. You know, it's probably 1,500 seats.
Yeah, you are on a cruise ship. And, you know, part of the reason they do the rotational dining is you've got, you know, roughly half the ship watching a show or not, and the other half of the ship is eating. So, you know, figuring if you got 3,000 guests on board, 1,500 in the theater, not everybody's going to be there, the other 1,500 in one of the restaurants. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, not everybody goes to all the shows. You will get folks that, you know, just either they've been on multiple cruises and so they're not interested, or folks with little kids may do what we did that last night and just watch it from the room. So you're not going to have a problem finding a seat. It's just whether you want to be particular. But yeah, I mean, the shows are all great. Villains Tonight is going away in the dream, as we've talked about. So I was happy to get to see it one more time. And, you know, the Golden Mickeys are a fun little show. And what they do when you're doing that, that's usually on your formal night. So one night of the cruise, they invite you to dress up if you care to. It's certainly not required. You know, I saw some folks that didn't want to partake, which is fine. We decided that we would, so I didn't go like suit or tuxedo. It's not like that formal, like old school cruising. But I had, you know, a long sleeve button down shirt and full pants, and my son actually had a matching shirt to mine. My wife wore a dress, so you know, we were a little bit dressed up compared to what you might expect otherwise your normal cruise attire to be. And with the Golden Mickeys, they do the intro to the show as if it's a red carpet event. So there's somebody out there outside the theater interviewing folks as they come walking by. And, you know, who are you looking to see tonight? Who's your favorite, you know, member of the dwarves? Like, whatever. They do little interviews, that kind of thing. So my son was, for some reason, particularly cranky waiting for that show. So I decided I'd take him for a walk so we can go see what was going on outside the theater. Well, I was shocked to find out there was no line waiting to go see this woman. So we hopped in line, and my son got to be one of the people up on the big screen. And
that's awesome.
She actually made me go out there with him. Yeah, she made me go out there with him because she goes, since we had matching shirts, she goes, oh, that's adorable. We want to see that on the screen. So she took my cell phone from me, videoed it for me. One of the cast members took my cell phone from me, videoed it for me while we were being interviewed. And, you know, the woman did a great job just kind of getting my son out of his mood and, you know, kind of brought the spirits back up. He got to be on the big screen. My wife videotaped it from inside the theater. So we have two different vantage points of it. And, you know, it's one of those little memories that he sticks to. He talks about still, you know, here we are not quite a month after the cruise. And you know, it's just a fun little family experience. Again, Amy, if you don't want to participate, you don't stand in the line.
Look, I'm not going to be in the line because I'm not going to be on the ship. Okay? You don't have to tell me about these lines because I'm not going to be there.
So, you know, along with the shows, along with some of the other excursions, activities, stuff we've talked about, also sort of the main reason I think people want to cruise is you get to go see different ports of call. And my particular cruise was what they called a double dip, in that you get to go to Castaway Cay twice. Now, Disney Cruise Line is expanding, as we've talked about. Even with the current four ships, they run Disney Cruises Alaska, overseas, out of Miami, out of Puerto Rico, out of obviously where we were. You have ports that'll go down through Mexico, through Castaway Cay, of course, Key West on certain cruises. So this particular cruise went Port Canaveral. The next morning we woke up, we were already at Castaway Cay, which I thought was kind of awesome, because on our last cruise, I remember having to wait till the third or fourth day. It's kind of like, Castaway Cay is a huge highlight for people who cruise. The island is beautiful, it's pristine. It was once again named Best Private Island of a Cruise Line. I think Condé Nast gave that award, but I'm not 100% sure that's who it's attributable to, but I saw that award come through in an email recently. And it's worth every bit of those accolades. It's anything you want to do, snorkel, parasail, jet ski, just sit by the beach, just drink at a bar, shop, dance, music. By the way, the kids club comes off the boat and has a kids section of the island, so your kid can go play with the other kids.
Which is still with the counselors and all that stuff, that they've worked up a rapport for the past days. So it's, that's awesome.
Yeah, they have a splash zone for the little ones. They have Pelican Plunge, which is a couple of slides going right down into the sea. They have a place I saw kids were like swinging on ropes or trying to do monkey bars across ropes and dropping into the water. Like, all the activities. Not the entire, but the majority of the cast comes off the boat and services on the island. So now you're getting people walking up and down the beach doing cocktails if you want. They have a full barbecue for lunch that everybody raves about. I mean, there's so much to do on Castaway that I love the idea of the double dip, because the first day we did some activities, and the second day we did a lot less activities.
And
we got to do the sort of the relaxed day.
I do have a tip. If you do enjoy drinking, don't get the drinks the first time that they're brought around. Get the drinks around 2. Because you got to get back aboard the ship around 4, 3:30. They will start to do 2-for-1s.
I didn't know that. Interesting. That's a great tip. Yeah, because our day ran more getting off the boat as soon as we docked. We camped out a spot. We did do the snorkeling excursion. Actually, I take that back. They had an excursion. So an excursion is when you prepay and you have sort of a group activity. They had an excursion, which isn't really in a group, but it was double the snorkel gear. So you can get snorkel for both days that you're on Castaway. And it was, I think, $42. We did the walk-up one-day rental, which was $32. So snorkel equipment, if you're renting it, if you're using Disney's equipment, you do have to pay additional for. And we actually, I had my son, you know, life vest, snorkel gear. He was probably, had swam out 300-400 yards offshore. I was pretty surprised how far he lasted to get out there. And this is Disney snorkeling, so while they can't exactly train the fish to be there, they can give you a little bit of Disney magic under the water to go along with your fish sightseeing. And we had a blast doing that. You know, the rest of the island is pretty much what I described. So we did relaxing, we hung out on the beach, we built sandcastles, we did go down Pelican Plunge. So funny story about that. So the water at the bottom when you come down the slide is well over my head. It's not particularly deep. If I had to guess, I'm going to say 12 to 14 feet. But it's deep. And, you know, as all water slides are, it's one person at a time down the water slide. And, you know, my son was in a life vest. I wasn't particularly worried, although I did warn him that he was going to dip all the way under when he hit the bottom, and then he'd instantly float up, and he was supposed to swim off to the side and wait for me. He wanted to go down the slides at the same time, and one is longer than the other, just by the nature of the way the slide is designed. So she told me that the slide he was on, the cast member told me the slide he was on would hit first. So I was like, okay, I'll look for him as I'm coming down. Well, I get to the bottom of my slide, and I'm looking around to make sure I've placed eyes on him, and I found him pretty quickly, and I did kind of a funny face at him, like, oh, there you are? Well, my mouth was wide open, and I forgot to close it.
Oh, no.
So I took an entire face and mouthful of the Caribbean Sea. I'll confirm it's salty. So I come up, I'm coughing and choking. He's laughing at me. I was like, what are you laughing at? He's like, you made a funny face coming on the slide. I was like, all right, at least I got the payoff I wanted. But yeah, pro tip, close your mouth when you're on the slide. So we had a lot of fun doing that kind of stuff. You know, it's lifeguards everywhere. I felt very safe having him in the water. Of course, he's in a life vest. I should have felt safe anyway. But you know, just that extra level of security knowing... You know, like I mentioned, we snorkeled 300 to 400 yards offshore. There's lifeguards out that far. They're stationed out there. I mean, everything is very well watched and scoped out and prepared for. And, you know, they've done this before. They're experts at it. So, I mean, the other port of call on this cruise, and it's typical of a Bahamian cruise, is Nassau. I'm not disparaging Nassau. I've been there a handful of times. We were more excited about letting everybody else get off the ship so that we could enjoy the ship with less people. And when I say less people, I'm talking about, you know, your aqueduct wait goes from 20 minutes to, you know, 5 or less. And, you know, Nassau is what it is. If someone asked me a tip, I'd say take the excursions. Don't just tour Nassau yourself. So make it a destination. You want to go to the Atlantis. You want to do water sports. Whatever it is, do that in Nassau and then get back on the boat. We literally stepped foot just so my son could claim he was in Nassau. We got his passport stamped, which is harder to do than you might imagine. They don't actively stamp passports anymore. And then we got back on. I think talking about the overall what they offer on a cruise, we could do on another show. I want to wrap up just with the fact that we got back that last day, and we decided we didn't want to fly home. So we scurried over to Yacht and Beach Club. And we did this deliberately for the pool. So we were happy. Our room was ready right when we checked in. And that night, we kind of spent the day at the pool. We did pop into Epcot, but that evening, actually met up with one of our listeners. So also one of our fantasy sports players, Mike Scopa. Not that Mike Scopa, the other Mike Scopa. I like to call him Mike Scopa.
Yes.
That's what it looks like to me. M-S-C-O-P-P-A on Twitter. So we had a lot of fun. He was down there with his family, also staying at Yacht Club. We missed each other just by a bit out at the pool. But we had, you know, we made plans, so he ducked out, it's probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the evening. I think it was actually during the fireworks, so probably 9 o'clock. Met up at the Cruise Cup, and so happy to have met him in person, and it's ironic that he lives probably 25 minutes from my house, and it took us 1,200 miles away to go meet each other. But, overall, fantastic trip. I would love to spend a little bit more time at the Yacht Club. I think it's a great resort, and I know people have some attitude towards it. The way it designed it feels snooty. I didn't sense that at all staying there. So maybe as we mosey through continuing our resort review topics, I can spend a little bit more time on Yacht Club. But yeah, then we came home, and now I'm talking to you lovely people.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know what? Talking with us lovely people, that is the good stuff.
This has been the good stuff. Thank you for listening to Butter and Bacon. For personalized trip planning services and expertise, please contact Becca via email at becca@adventuresoutthertravel.com, on Twitter at AIOTTravel, or visit our website, adventuresoutthertravel.com, where you can get more information, read our blog, subscribe to our newsletter, and request a quote. Let them know Butter and Bacon sent you. You can follow Butter and Bacon on Twitter at Butter and Bacon, on Instagram as Butter and Bacon Podcast, and please contact us via email at butterandbaconpodcast@gmail.com. To get the good stuff delivered hot and fresh, please subscribe to Butter and Bacon in your podcast app of choice.
piano. Yes, but you cannot tune a fish.
I don't hear any piano tuning.
I have adjourned to the other side of the estate, so I am thousands of miles away from the original source of sound. Can you hear piano?
I heard a little bit just now.
Yeah. It sounded very Haunted Mansion-y.
And now you see why I have a piano tuner in the house. The more things get used, the worse they are, but she said with pianos you don't want them to sit. Yeah, that's pretty much what it sounds like.
I'm just like imagining a cartoon in my head as she's doing that, like Bugs Bunny or something.
Right. So yeah, I had told Polly the story.
I think she's just having fun with you now. I don't think
that's
she's tuning
me.
In.
No, that's Polly. That's not me.
That was me.
Polly, by the way, I think you need your piano tuned.
It's an iPad piano.
Polly? Oh, that's Polly doing that?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's me. That's me on my iPad piano.
Polly, I think you need to tune your iPad.
I can tune an iPad, but I can't tune a fish.
I feel like that's the second time that joke's been told in 3 minutes.
When he started doing that, I thought that was the lady.
I know you did. That was funny.
That doesn't say it's for the minivans. And I'm thinking, well, are they going to have like VIP minivan drop-offs? I don't think they will. I think it's all just going to be the same. That's just my opinion.
Which would have been a great start to a segment to introduce the show if Paula, Yo Mozart NJ didn't kick in. So we might as well have a podcast.
Not gonna make the show.
In any shape, form, or fashion.
Wow.
The final piece Countdown. Of track was added to...
Come on, Amy. Keep talking.
Okay, anyway, somebody posted that the final length of...
Amy.
Amy's not on the show.
What?
Oh, what? What?
There she is.
What? What'd you say?
Guess who's back? Back again.
We'll get you
what
back.
What are your shoes going on, then?
What?
I know, this is a serious... Where are you putting your shoes?
What?
You've been defeated.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Womp, womp, womp.
I actually like that. That's really good.
She's going to be using that one later today.
I like that one. That's good.
All right. Now that we got MAGA back, can we do the show?
Yes. Well, you know.
Just put on the show.
I got it.
Sorry.
You know who is buying
three.
It? Is our guest.
Oh, I'm sorry! I was just saying 3, 2, 1 for you. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you. Do the countdown. Do it.
3, 2, 1. It's also a bodily organ.
We've devolved.
Amy, how do you pronounce that state?
Oregon. Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon.
I had the E, Oregon.
It rhymes with the bodily organ. Like okay. it's pronounced
Oregon,
exactly
Oregon.
The same.
It's the same.
Oregon.
Oregon. Yep.
Same.
How about you, Dean?
Correct. Oregon.
It's Oregon.
He said correct, as if what he deems to be correct is his pronunciation.
Okay.
Amy, you are familiar with the dictionary? Mr. Noah Webster, Who authored said dictionary? Whose house is 20 minutes
we
from
have a
mine?
New sec. We have a new segment, Dean Deems.
My gosh.
Well, I have three violins. So.
We need more violins on television.
Unless those are
Webster High Horse.
Wow.
He probably did ride a horse.
So was Miriam his wife's name?
Miriam.
She was a maid.
How do you know that Miriam Webster is not her name and that it was a woman?
And
who
she
wrote the dictionary?
Had to write it under a man's name because of the misogynistic. Wow, nice. I like it.
Controversy.
I'd like it.
Poor
Let's
Noah.
Make that a TV show.
Noah gets no cred.
What gets no credit?
Noah.
He built an ark and he saved all of the animals.
You know, when I was a kid, I got real confused by the Ark and the Ark of the Covenant. I was like, so wait, they put all the animals into the thing and then the tablets? What?
That's awesome.
How do we recover? Mm-mm.
Yeah, we're just going to have to... Stop.
All right, so leap back in.
But I don't remember what I was talking about.
Well, you
I'm really glad that people are recognizing your show.
Oh, that's great. Amy? Not gonna make the show.
You get that singing right
yes,
there, Mike.
That will. And the laugh.
Oh, you. Oh, you.
Oh, you.
Oh, you.
Oh, you is Orlando United.
Oh, you.
I won't put that in the show either because you will
Paul,
get hate
you
mail.
Agree with it.
No, I know.
Wow, there goes your cred.
So you're just as wrong.
I'm more wrong. And I would like to take this opportunity to do a special shout out to Disney's Folly. And you know why. Oh, where okay. was your rotation? What was your dining rotation?
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high.
Take a look.
Take a look. It's in a book.
It's in a
it's
book.
Reading rainbow.
Reading rainbow.
I can do anything. Sorry.
So, you know, going back to...
Wow, my piano is still being
amazing.
Too. Or my wife's playing really, really poorly.
That's awesome.
Sunny day, chasing the clouds away. Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? You're just ruining it. You're ruining
it. I'm a ruiner.
Jingle bell, jingle bam!